I'm 25 years old. I'm the fittest I've been in my life. I'm eating the best I've ate in my life. I'm caring for myself. Why am I getting worse and worse and worse? And I found somebody several states away. This was before virtual medicine, talking like 2013. And he's just like, yeah, come on up. I'll check you out. I went up there. And within a few weeks, I started noticing a difference because he's like, yep, you have Lyme. You also have some parasites and you have some other things that are potentially going on. Come to find out, like after treating Lyme, I got a lot better, but then I treated parasites. And then not with him, I figured out that I had some metal and some mold. And after I got through all of those things, I'm like a new person.
He's a best-selling author, award-winning filmmaker, inspirational speaker, certified nutrition coach, plant-powered athlete, and host of the number one holistic health podcast in the world, Nathan Crane.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast. Before we get started, I want to give you a free gift that I have spent over a decade researching thousands of hours of peer-reviewed studies and interviewing hundreds of world-leading functional medical doctors and cancer conquerors that lays out a blueprint for helping your mind and body become a cancer-fighting fortress for natural cancer prevention and healing. And that's my Amazon number one best-selling book, Becoming Cancer-Free. The physical copy sells for like 10 bucks on Amazon, which, you know, you can go get that if you want, but I'm happy to give you the ebook absolutely free. Just head over to becomingcancerfree.com and you can download that ebook instantly. Again, that's becomingcancerfree.com and it's yours as a gift from me to you for tuning into this podcast. All right, let's get to the show. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm excited to have my friend Dr. Jabin Moore here with us today. Dr. Jabin is a doctor of chiropractic. He's located out of Kansas City. He works with many patients around the world through telemedicine as a functional medicine practitioner. He's helped many people deal with and learn the root cause and even overcome their various chronic health conditions. And Jabin, you went through your own episode of, you know, dealing with Lyme disease and chronic fatigue and all kinds of stuff that after being a, you know, elite collegiate athlete, right? And then you were, then you just had this kind of downward spiral of your own health, you know, spiraling out of control and eventually led you to, you know, solving your own health crisis and then learning functional medicine and then being able to help many other patients dealing with similar issues. So number one, dude, welcome to the podcast. Super happy to have you here. And number two, love to hear a little bit more about your own personal story and how you, you know, were able to heal yourself.
Well, thanks for having me, man. And yeah, I dealt with Lyme disease. And at the time I thought just Lyme, of course, through all of my now 11 years of being in practice, I've learned that there were some other pieces of that puzzle, but I was a college athlete living life, enjoying myself 20, 21, 22, 23, and just felt like things were not right. Like my body wasn't operating the way that it had through high school and early in college. And when I graduated from undergrad and I'd stopped being in track and field, I was a shot putter, I was a big boy. I lost 60 pounds. When I lost that weight, my body just crashed. I hit a wall and I didn't know what it was from, but I was like fatigue and brain fog were accelerating. Hormones were off, ended up with erectile dysfunction. And it was just like, I'm 25 years old. I'm the fittest I've been in my life. I'm eating the best I've ate in my life. I'm caring for myself. Why am I getting worse and worse and worse? And I went through what so many people that I work with go through, which is no answers. I went to different providers, whether they were Western medicine or even natural medicine. I went to lots of different providers, tried different diets. Things just weren't working. I just wasn't seeing results. And I was actually at a conference and somebody mentioned Lyme disease that didn't know much about it. So I was like, all right, I'll go down that rabbit hole. Like I was just taking whatever I could get. And I found somebody several states away. This was before virtual medicine, talking like 2013. And he's just like, yeah, come on up. I'll check you out. I went up there and within a few weeks, I started noticing a difference because he was like, yep, you have Lyme. You also have some parasites and you have some other things that are potentially going on. Come to find out, like after treating Lyme, I got a lot better. But then I treated parasites. And then not with him, I figured out that I had some metal and some mold. And after I got through all of those things, I'm like a new person. I'm 37 today. And I have as much energy, as much brain function as I did before I got sick, which is what I tell so many people, like, we should not be declining so rapidly. So many people are, oh, I'm just getting a little older. Oh, I'm not 18 anymore. I'm like, that's BS.
Right. I hear it all the time. Even people at the gym, like, you know, mid 30s go, oh, I'm getting old. I'm like, shut up. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, number one, don't be saying that to yourself. We know the impact of people who literally consider themselves old, that it manifests in the physiology. It reduces your actual biological age. It reduces your inner age, versus people, there were studies done on people who believe they were younger when they're 60, 70, 80, who, you know, don't say things like, oh, I'm getting too old for this, or, you know, they don't believe that they're old. They still see themselves as younger, and they actually have brains of a significantly younger person. I mean, that's what you want as you age, you know, and our words are very, very powerful. But as you said, it is common in our society today. It's like, oh yeah, I just don't feel well. And we just kind of chalk it up to, oh, I'm aging. But that's not what healthy aging is. Healthy aging is you still feel great. You still have energy. You still feel strong as you age. And I know this because of the thousands and thousands of people I've talked to over the years in the work that I do, and in the people that you talk to, and see the results. People who are 50, 60, 70, who are getting better, healthier, stronger than they've been in decades. My dad's a prime example. He's healthier and stronger now in his 70s than he was when he was in his 50s. Why? Cleaned up his diet. Got him on a mostly plant-based diet. He does a little bit of fish and chicken from time to time, but he's doing a lot of vegetables, a lot of fruits. Got his cholesterol down naturally, got him off all his meds, got his blood pressure back to normal, right? So most people in their 70s in the West now are on somewhere between 5 and 7 prescription meds. He got off all of them, right? Stopped drinking alcohol, stopped smoking cigarettes, exercises every day. And now in his 70s, he's healthier now than he was in his 50s. No joke. And he's getting stronger. He's putting on more muscle. You know, it's just incredible to see. And he's one case of thousands of cases. So we know that, you know, rapid deterioration is not a sign of healthy aging. Yes, as you age, you know, you're never going to lift as heavy at your prime. If you really built your prime in your 20s or 30s, yeah, you're not going to be as fast or as fit or whatever, but you can still be healthy. You can still be strong. You know, you can still not be dealing with chronic fatigue and low energy and all that kind of stuff. If you are, it's because of these issues you just mentioned, you know, some kind of virus or bacterial infection, some kind of parasitic infection, some kind of heavy metal overload, right? Some level of mold toxicity. So it's awesome you found that stuff out. You were able to, you know, treat yourself. I want to go into each one of those specifically, if you don't mind. Like, what did you do for Lyme? What did you do for parasites, heavy metals, mold? Maybe we can start with the Lyme.
Yeah. So that's actually the thing that I did first. And it's not the thing that I actually work on first with clients today. But in my journey, that's the first specialist I was able to find, the first really good person. And I went up to his clinic and I stayed there for a full week. And he did some body work on me to get my lymph moving. He did some chiropractic to get my nervous system turned back on. I did some different work with his in-office Reiki person just to get my body in a place where it was ready to get moving. Then he got me on a protocol of herbs and vitamins. He made a product line, and it's now called IS Bore is his Lyme formula.
Have you heard of PEMF therapy for cancer? Well, this podcast is brought to you by Dr. Pollock, and he wants to share with you the groundbreaking research of pulsed electromagnetic field therapy in the treatment of cancer. Studies show PEMF therapy can help control the cancer process and give safe, non-toxic, and non-invasive symptom management. PEMF therapy may enhance other cancer support and treatments, lower inflammation, and promote tissue healing. Studies show it's possible to improve your general well-being and recuperate from surgery, radiation, and chemo better and more quickly. Embrace a comprehensive approach to cancer treatment with PMF therapy, a vital tool on your path to prevention, treatment, and recovery. For caring and professional guidance and recommendations from Dr. Pollock, go to drpollock.com/intro to cancer. That's drpawluk.com/intro to cancer. You know, with the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I use Maison Beljansky's wellness products. Maison Beljansky's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health. Coming from Europe, the all-natural Beljansky formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Beljansky's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Beljansky has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners. You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan, and you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order 4 products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at MaisonBeljansky.com. That's MaisonBeljansky, MaisonBeljansky.com, and use code Nathan for 15% off.
And that formula was able to get me feeling better alongside of doing frequency specific technique. So an electrical current that's a specific frequency to help your body deal with the Lyme. And that's what I did while I was up there for that full week. When I came back, I continued the herbs. I continued getting adjusted. And I actually continued doing the frequency specific technique with someone here local that had a machine. I was able to do it. And I did that for about 2 months. I'll be honest, after about 2 months, I started feeling significantly better. But that first month was focused on the Lyme, the Borrelia. And then the second month was focused on the Babesia, which is a protozoan parasite co-infection that's common alongside of Lyme that he had found when he was working with me. So each month I rotated there for the first, I believe it was about 6 months. And I rotated from co-infection to co-infection using his formulations, which are all herbal. And I was able to see some significant progress once identified the problem and then getting the right interventions put in. But it wasn't just dive in and kill stuff, because so many people do that. It was get your body in the right place, open up the drainage pathways, get the nervous system online. Because if you are stressed and in a fight or flight position, your body's not in a rest, digest, heal, and recover position. So we did all that first week in-house.
That's awesome. You're doing like Reiki and energy healing and stuff. A lot of people either don't know about it or think it's too woo-woo or don't realize, you know, the efficacy of it. There's quite a few studies, in fact, on Reiki and energy healing that show an improved outcome when it comes to immune system function, inflammation, you know, rapid speeding up of healing, also as a support for conventional medicine. So if you're doing, you know, drug therapy or whatever it might be, you know, Reiki has shown, you know, increased mood, decreased depression, which we know is essential. Like you said, getting your, you know, healing faculties online. So many people are stuck in a sympathetic nervous system state that even they're taking all these herbs and parasite killers and, you know, black walnut and all these things that are helping to, you know, create die off from these infections. But then, you know, the immune system is downregulated because people are in a chronic fight or flight state. And then the body's not able to actually remove these toxins and infections as easily, right? So Reiki, meditation, these frequency healings, these kinds of, you know, getting the body into a parasympathetic state, a rest and digest, a healing state. Now implementing some of these other protocols and herbs and things can be a lot more effective, yeah?
Absolutely. If you come into my clinic, and now for the last 11 years, I've been working with Lyme and all of these complex chronic conditions because, well, after I left Wisconsin, came back home, I graduated, And again, no virtual medicine. So all these referrals that were going to him and his very booked out practice that were from my area, he's like, go to this guy, he can help you. So it was trial by fire. It was, okay, graduate, here's all these really complex chronic conditions. I'm calling him like, hey, what do I do with this thing? I'm researching and I'm looking around. And what I ended up being able to build out of that was a process. And it's a process that is very customized to you, but it's got pillars. And the first pillar is you got to live in a place that is safe. You got to live in an environment that is allowing you to be able to heal, which can be anything from the air, food, water, hygiene, dental, implants in your body. Like these are, we need to make sure you are in a position where you can heal. But the second pillar is the nervous system that is missed by 99% of providers out there across all providers. I don't care if it's Western, Eastern, you know, alternative, functional. Not enough people look at a client, and as they're having that first conversation, I'll just look at them. Their traps, their shoulders are touching their ears. And it's not because they're bodybuilders, it's because they're stressed out. And they're jumpy. They're repeating themselves over and over. They're telling you that they're stressed, anxious, worried, not balanced, just by their body language. And if we can help to resolve some of that, you see all of that tightness and anxious energy that they're using to keep their body in fight or flight as in a protection mode. They take all that energy and they can just shift it. And I just tell people, like, if you have 100 points of energy in a day and you're using 30 of it to be hypervigilant, if I can take that 30 and put it into immune function to actually be able to mount an immune response to deal with Lyme, for instance, how much better do you think that's going to work? And they're like, oh, that makes sense. Because a lot of people also are very resistive initially to doing nervous system training and work. And I'm like, hey, this is just like physical therapy. If you learn to walk improperly, throw a baseball wrong, if you are bending over and picking up stuff and throw out your back because you don't know how to pick things up appropriately, let's do some physical therapy to fix it, right? Everybody gets that. Okay, well, now let's do physical therapy for your brain.
That's a good way to look at it. And you're right. So many people are, I think more people are opening up to the realization because we've been talking about it for so long. I've literally done entire documentary series on this exact topic. Multiple years that have, we've had hundreds of thousands of people go through and sign up and watch our documentary series teaching this exact topic in relation specifically to cancer, because it's what I consider the missing link for cancer is the nervous system, is the, you know, really dialing in, really upregulating the parasympathetic nervous system, you know, really activating good vagal tone and activating the vagal nerve. Because you could take all the herbs and supplements and diet and all the best things and sauna and, you know, all the great detoxification things, but if you're in that sympathetic state, this is the key takeaway for people, right? If you're in this chronic sympathetic nervous system state, which most people are, like you said, you know, shoulders up, kind of, you know, fidgety, you know, lots of thoughts throughout the day of resentment, anger, fear, you know, they're reactive all the time. You don't find yourself in a state of peace and equanimity most of the time throughout the day, but urgency and always feeling late and rushing to the next thing and upset about this thing, upset about that thing. You just watch the news, that just pissed you off. Someone just cut you off in the road, that just pissed you off. You're not happy at your job. You know, it's just people are living in that chaotic state 24/7. Your sympathetic nervous system is turned on. And what that means is automatically your body shuts off the energy to your immune system, which you were just alluding to. That's very well scientifically documented. And why is that? That's for survival, right? If you're out in nature and something's trying to kill you, you don't want all the energy of your cells going to your immune system. You want it going to your, and your blood, and you want the cortisol dump and the adrenaline dump, you know, to go to your legs and your arms to rush so you can get away and save your life. Well, most of us are not in a life and death situation every single day, but our bodies, our nervous system still believe that we are because of that chronic stress. And so automatically all that energy has shut off from your immune system. So it's not fighting the bacterial infection. It's not fighting the parasitic infection. It's not fighting the cancer. You know, we see cancer just proliferating, exploding like crazy. So I love that this is like pillar number two for you, because you know, like you said, so many people forget about it. So, you know, nervous system regulation, people absolutely should be doing, focusing on this every single day. I have my favorite practices I do every day, multiple times a day, but I'm curious, what are some of your favorites that you personally do and or teach your patients?
So with patients, there's a program that I absolutely love, Primal Trust, yep, from Kathleen King,
yep,
a mutual friend of ours. Mm-hmm. She does somatic, limbic, and vagal nerve exercises in her program. They're all combined together. And it's done in such a scientific way. And she's a DPT, so a doctor of physical therapy. So that's part of the reason where I even came up with the concept. This is physical therapy, because she presents it in such a palatable way that is so usable because of her training. So that's the program that I take people to, because I think it's so encompassing and done so well. Now, personally, what I do is I wake up every morning and I used to check my social media accounts that I'm working on building and the emails and the financials and all of these things for my business. And of course, with what we're doing, I'm like, that is not good for me to wake up and put blue light in my face and give me all the stressful data that I could get moment one of my life. That's terrible.
Right.
So now I wake up and I usually hear my alarm make one noise and I'm like, dink, off. And then I lay back down, I put my hands together, and I spend about 5 minutes in prayer. And when I'm doing prayer, I'm also thinking about my breathing. So I'm trying to do almost like a little bit of a meditative breath work, but as a Christian guy, prayer. So I bring all of that together, and I do that every single morning when I wake up, and I do that every single night before I go to bed. So that's my beginning and ending of every day, is gratitude and thankful. And then during the day, my time for me is going actually to the gym, but I don't do it like a lot of guys where I've got like raging music in my ear and I'm just like going nuts. Oftentimes I've got worship music on, which if you actually look at harmony and frequency, a lot of worship music frequency is very uplifting. It's very high frequency and very good energy. And while doing that, the gym relaxes me because it's bringing good endorphins and hormones. And then every day, because I actually had my shower built and I cut out sheetrock and put in a glass panel, I have red light therapy into my shower every single day for every single shower. So
I love exercise. That's a really cool idea. Yeah. To put the red light, to have it while you shower. That's something you do every day, right? So that's pretty smart. That's cool.
Every day.
I just got a small one. Because I've got the big panels, but I, you know, only use those usually when I'm either laying down stretching in the living room or laying on a meditation bed that I have, and then I'll pop those mm-hmm. on. But I got a small one that fits right under my desk now, so I can turn that on during the day when I'm working at my stand-up desk, which is pretty cool.
I used to do that exact same thing too, but now it's definitely, I have like the 48-incher
yeah.
in the wall of the shower.
That's awesome.
And talking with Robbie from Therasage, it was incredible because I did this just because I was like, I like to biohack my life with like efficiencies. And he's like, well, when you have red light hit water droplets, it structures the water and it reflects off the water and the tile on the walls. So now you're actually getting your entire body, no matter where you're standing, in the shower.
Yeah, it'd be like taking a shower out in the jungle with the sunlight hitting you, which is just, if you've ever done that, I've done that in Costa Rica at a retreat where it's like, it's an open shower. The sun's coming through, the water's hitting you. You're like, it's like one of the most magnificent things in the world, you know? So, mm-hmm. Most people probably can't put a big panel LED, you know, red light therapy panel in their shower behind a glass, you know, piece of glass. But, if you can, that's a really cool idea. I like it. One of my good friends and integrative cancer doctors, Michael Karlfeldt, owns the Karlfeldt Center in Meridian, Idaho. And I'm really grateful that their team has sponsored this episode. Dr. Carl Felt is a globally renowned naturopathic doctor in integrative oncology, and his center pioneers cutting-edge alternative therapies to combat cancer. They offer cutting-edge therapies, including high-dose IVs, ozone therapy, curcumin, mistletoe, photodynamic therapy, and many others within their 17,000 square foot advanced medical and wellness treatment facility. With decades of expertise, they offer comprehensive root cause medicine tailored to support your healing journey. You can begin your transformative experience with a complimentary 15-minute discovery call. You can call them at 208-338-8902 or visit their website at thecarlfeltcenter.com. Again, that's 208-338-8902 or go to the website thecarlfeltcenter.com. Are you looking for a powerful immune system hack? Well, our sponsor, Better Way Health, produces one of the highest quality beta-glucans on the market. And beta-glucan is a powerful immune system booster, being called the most effective dietary supplement for a healthy immune system by the American Nutraceutical Association. I personally take beta-glucan from Better Way Health to help keep my immune system strong. And I'm grateful they're offering all of my listeners a special discount code when you order today. Head over to nathancrane.com/beta-glucan for your special offer today. Go get a discount. Try it out for yourself. That's nathancrane.com/beta-glucan.
Well, Robbie actually with Aerosage put suction cups in the packaging for his red light. His little soft red light that you can suction cup it to like the glass if you have a glass door or a glass wall in your shower.
Oh, it can get wet? So it's waterproof?
No, it's on the outside.
Oh, on the outside going in. I got you. That's cool. That's a good idea. That's pretty awesome. So you're doing, I love the gratitude practice, the prayer first thing in the morning, you know, last thing at night. It's the same thing I do as well. It's the best way to start your day and end your day, right? I mean, it's a good way to, you know, kick off your morning and get your body into that state of gratitude, of prayer, of spiritual connection, get your, you know, your immune system upregulated, get into that parasympathetic state. What are other things that you do throughout the day?
Other things health-wise are not as nervous system oriented, but you know, I keep taking drinks here. I've got electrolytes because a person in a fight or flight state is going to burn through their electrolytes. We see when adrenals kick on, whether that's cortisol or other hormones, your body starts to just burn through those minerals that we need, sodium, potassium, magnesium. I see that all the time in hair testing. So I get minerals in every day. I'm doing mitochondrial support, which different companies have different products, but you know, you're looking at your CoQ10s, your B vitamins, those things, bringing them in. I'm always getting new experimental things, testing on myself first. So I'm making sure to keep up my nutrients, my mitochondria each day, because once, in my opinion, once you reach a state of stable, once you reach that threshold where your body can adapt to stresses in the day-to-day, I'm past being chronically ill, past having chronic infections and toxins. Yes, we have to keep up with that. We have to make sure that we're living in that safe environment with pillar one. But once you get there, it's not as much about where some people, they want to keep doing a parasite cleanse every single month or a Lyme cleanse every single month. And they always have this mental aspect of fear when they leave their home. So many of my clients are like, well, what do you do for tick bites? I was like, nothing. My body is strong.
Exactly.
I do a daily practice of mitochondrial support, minerals, red light, nervous system regulation, so that when a tick bites me, my immune system can respond appropriately. Now, that's not for everybody. If you're not stable and your immune system is not strong, then I'm going to take some IS board or do something like that. But I think that getting yourself into a position where you have confidence in your body and it's not fear of the environment because you've made appropriate choices, that's where the goal is. So, you know, things that I do every day, I don't even think about saying. I have distilled water with minerals added back, so the water's absolutely clean. I have a home that has non-VOC materials because, like I said, I built my house and then in my shower.
Plus, you got an air doctor right behind you there cleaning up more of the VOCs that might be coming off of, you know, your bookcase and maybe flooring, mm-hmm. maybe your desk, whatever, right? Those air doctors. I got an air doctor over there, and I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think 6 or 7 plants in this office alone. We know that plants, live plants in your house, help clean up so much of the VOCs, those toxic volatile compounds that are coming off of everything in your house, from your fire retardant carpets to the formaldehyde in your cupboards to the paint on your walls, you know. So live plants, NASA did a study on that, one plant per 100 mm-hmm. square feet, right? Or Air Doctor too, which is a great, great filtration system.
Yeah, I got four of those. And then I started doing peptides here recently as a new experiment, if that's something to bring into my sphere and potential use. So I've been doing BPC-157. I've tried CJC and a few others as I'm going through, but the BPC has been very interesting. I've really enjoyed seeing how that's affected just my body. I've had some previous injuries from college. I have a torn rotator cuff slightly. I've torn my elbow. I've torn my hip flexor, just college injuries. And although they don't bother me most day-to-day life, the BPC actually made the pain completely go away. No and way. After discontinuing it, it stayed away now for 3 months.
Wow. How long did you take it for?
I took it for 45 days.
Is it good for tendons?
Seemingly, from the research I've read, it does increase in general the overall healing rate and decrease inflammation of the general body. So yes, so that's why, like, my shoulder was a problem I had for about 2 years because I'd injured it doing CrossFit, and then it just wasn't right. I wasn't giving it probably the due amount of attention I should have, just with life and business. But after the BPC, it's been pain-free for now 3 months after 2 years.
That's awesome, dude. BP, I might have to look into it. So what is BPC 157? Just because I've still got some little bit of tendonitis in my bicep also from just overtraining. And it's like 80% healed, but it's still a little bit of in an inflammatory state. And I want to get it to that 100%, you know, pain-free. So looking for ways to do it. But yeah, what is BPC 157? How does it work?
So it's a peptide. And, you know, if I look it up and I Google it, it basically talks about helping the body with this regenerative process, aiding the cell and restoring the body by increasing cellular production cycle. That's what it states online. So it's being, you know, it's experimentally being used in a lot of just healing places. Peptides are very much right now on like the FDA. We don't know what they're doing. We're not sure if we like them. We're not sure if we don't like them list when you start getting into them. And of course, that's why I'm like, hey, let's stay out on the front edge here and understanding what's going on.
Well, peptides are basically they're basically hormones, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what's the difference between a peptide and a hormone? Is there a difference?
Yes. Probably not much. As you look through all the information, not much at all. They're basically signaling molecules that are telling your body what to do.
Right, right. That's what I thought.
Which is a hormone.
So, yeah. So it is definitely at the cutting edge right now. I don't know. Yeah. Your body makes these, right? Mm-hmm. We find them in urine. We find the peptides and hormones in urine, which is why urine therapy is a very interesting thing as well. It's a whole other conversation. I bet you can find BPC 157 in urine. That'd be interesting. I have to look into that. But you only took for 45 days. That's really cool. What do you know? How much were you taking? Do you know? Is it by body weight, or how do they prescribe it?
At least the websites I've looked at, it's not by body weight. I was very conservative with my dosing. I was doing about 200 micrograms daily. I have seen as much as 400 to 500 micrograms twice daily being done for people, but I wanted to be on the conservative side when I was doing it. I also took it with TB500. The TikTok name of that combination is called the Wolverine combo, because it's, you know, Wolverine heals really fast. So I took that combo together, those two things. And I'll say it did seem like it worked. Pain in my entire body went away, because before taking that, laying on that shoulder was painful. After taking it, laying on that shoulder is pain-free. I went from not wanting to do heavy shoulder exercises to fully free to do what I wanted. So It's been quite incredible. We actually gave it to a staff member's grandma who had a significant back injury. And we don't supply it by any means. We just told her about it. And the staff member went ahead and went and purchased it on their own. And they took it, and the back pain, while taking it, was gone. While off of it, says it was reduced by about 40% a couple months out.
Wow. Interesting. So did you do an injection, or do you take these as capsules, or what?
I've been doing the injection on myself. There are capsule options, and for some peptides, there are some sublingual options. And a few of them, there's like a cream option. I don't know if the non-injection is going to be as effective with the peptide, just because I haven't experienced that personally.
Yeah. Interesting.
I have had clients do the oral version and say that it did have a positive effect, but there's no way. I don't have a study to show injection versus oral.
Yeah. Well, you have your own kind of case study, and then that's interesting. So you did the combo. You did BBC 157 plus TB500. Is that right?
Correct. Yep.
Gotcha. That's cool. And you have to get prescriptions for those, or what?
So, reason why I say I didn't give the recommendation to grandmas, because right now peptides are on the borderline. There's about four currently that are still legal in the United States for prescription writers to give, which Ozempic, probably the most popular one, semaglutide. And then there's tirzepatide. I think BPC is still in the okay category. And then CJC, I believe, is still in the okay category for prescribers. So you can be prescribed these things. There are also websites that you can go purchase them from, where you can purchase research only usage. They cannot make the claims similar to what supplements are, where you can purchase and inject yourself. And that's what I was doing initially.
Right, right. Gotcha. Interesting. So let's say, all right, I want to go back to, so pillar one was make sure you got a clean environment. We're talking about cleaning up your air, filtering your water, make sure you're in a safe place, check your home for mold, clearly, because living in breathing mold every day is definitely not a safe healing environment to be in. Clean food, clean water, clean air, clean home. Pillar two, regulate your nervous system. Gratitude practices, prayer, meditation, Reiki, Qigong, listening to, healing music when you're exercising, such a simple but powerful thing. People don't necessarily think about that often. Most of the time when I'm working out at home, same thing. I'll have more, most of the time I'll have like upbeat, lighter music playing, like positive music. Just like you, with worship music. And then when I'm going into like a high intensity, interval or something like that, I'll put on something more intense. But like most of the time I'm working out, it's something more just upbeat. Like I want to be in a happy, positive mood. I think that's actually, really beneficial for your nervous system. And then what's pillar number three?
Pillar number three is where I actually get into the process of cleansing the body. So that's where we bring in the herbs, the supplements, the meds. I'm 99% natural with my recommendations, but I do have a nurse practitioner in my clinic, so we have the capacity to bring in meds as necessary. So that's where we go into that portion of the conversation, because we've already addressed, diet within the food conversation, the safe place, like don't eat foods that are bothering you. So whether that be oxalates, if you don't tolerate oxalates because you're living in mold, or if you have alpha gal and you can't tolerate red meat, we're going to make sure we approach that in the diet. So pillar three is where we go into the phase of, we're going to start to rebuild your body. So we replenish minerals and nutrients that are lost. We deal with, if you're having histamine reactions, so we can bring in antihistamine, homeopathic, herbal medication. We start to regulate immune responses if we have a need to do that for sensitivity. And then we go into the liver supporting detox cleanse, and then the microbial work that we'll be needing to do based off of your history labs or our clinical conversations.
I was just talking with Brian Artis yesterday, Dr. Artis, and you know, he's saying it can, when people do a liver cleanse, they found that generally, whether you're doing a 5-day cleanse, 7-day, 21-day, but generally they see like a 15%, and I don't know how you'd measure this, but a 15% improvement in liver function. Maybe they're looking at liver enzymes, I'm not sure exactly, but with each cleanse, so, or liver detox or liver cleanse. And so people think like, oh, I'll do this one cleanse and then I'm good. Like I'm good forever, right? Whereas what he's saying is, no, you, throughout the year, you should consider doing more, you know, 5, 6, 7, maybe one a month, one every, you know, 45 days, because each time you're regenerating and helping detox and heal your liver a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. What are your thoughts on that in terms of liver flush, liver cleanses, liver detoxes?
I mean, I'm on board with what he's saying, but I'll give a little bit more background to my statement, which is most people, at least that are walking to my clinic, are not in good places. They're not biohacker, optimizer people that are coming in like, I'm at the top of my game, give me another percent. Most of them are struggling. So for most of the people that I'm working with, we are starting from ground zero. We are cleaning up the environment. So if we're starting at ground zero and you have on a scale of 10, you say, my digestion's an 8 bad. My fatigue is an 8 bad. I have some brain fog, some anxiety in there. Okay. So we've got a person's body who's struggling. So we're going to be doing numerous protocols throughout our time to get your body well. So for me, it was start off by doing a month of a liver cleanse specifically without doing antimicrobials or detox. Then it's let's detox parasites, bacteria. That's each going to take a month or two, each category. Then another month or two for mold, another month or two for metal and so on. Once I reach the end of that, I can go out and test your body for toxins, for infections. And those things are now negative, right? So theoretically your body's clean. You're at that break point where I'm like, all right, you're good to go into maintenance. At that point, like I was mentioning earlier, my goal is not for you to have to do a liver cleanse every month, although it may be beneficial. If you live in a safe environment, which is not always easy to do in today's society, let's say you're drinking clean water, eating organic food, breathing clean air because you got your air doctors. I tend to recommend the minimum is that we do a quarterly cleanse, which is going to include liver, gallbladder type detox supporting. And then alongside of that, it's going to also include some sort of organism immune support cleanse. So whether that be parasite, bacteria, mold, and I actually built these out and I give them to clients and we rotate them based off of, you know, what quarter they're in their year. So you say first quarter could be parasite, second quarter could be bacteria, third quarter could be mold, fourth quarter could be metal, to make sure that we're hitting on everything. And it's not like I'm saying we're only going to do metal one time a year, because you're still doing gallbladder and liver cleansing each quarter. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, a minimum. And I try to create just a structure so people can keep up with it. Not everybody's into, let me do a full cleanse every single month the rest of my life, which I get. Nor should they have to if they're following pillar one and two.
How long is each of the cleanses usually take? So they're basically just taking, you know, specific supplements for that set amount of time?
Yeah. So in the maintenance phase, it's about 10 days of cleansing each month that they do it. So 4 months of the year, so 40 days of the year they're spent cleansing.
Gotcha. And so for like parasites, let's talk about parasites, because it's funny, there's still doctors today in the U.S. that don't believe parasites exist in the U.S. They're like told that, yeah, you don't have parasites because they don't exist. And yet we know that parasites, like millions and millions of people have parasitic infections here in the U.S. Dogs have parasites. Cats have parasites. You go to your vet knows that parasites exist here in the West, and those parasites transfer from your animals to the pet owners, the pet parents, right? Like, but yet still the medical profession here, many people don't believe parasites actually exist in people. Dr. Keneally, who's got Center for New Medicine over in California, which I went and visited, interviewed a bunch of her doctors. They told me every cancer patient that's ever come in there, they tested for parasites, have tested positive for parasites. Every single cancer patient, which I find kind of fascinating. So what are some of the things that you've seen in helping eliminate parasites? You know, we know black walnuts always in a parasite cleanse. There's three or four. I've done tons of parasite cleanses over the years, and there's always like three or four or five different herbs in that concoction. Tastes terrible, by the way, if you're doing the tinctures and the liquid. Just awful. But black walnut whole, there's a bunch of those kind of herbs that really help to kill the parasites. Now, are you doing, do you have a binder that goes along? Like, are you doing, recommending like, you know, the herbs in the morning and a binder afterwards, like an hour later or in the afternoon to kind of clean, you know, bind up, you know, activated charcoal, you know, apple pectin, whatever, crack cell chlorella. How do you normally do that?
Yeah. So, I mean, just to answer that first piece of question, what herbs? So it's black walnut, wormwood, oregano, clove, blue tinsy, neem, noni. These are all different herbs that are all effective with different parasites. So I use all of those. And there's a number of other ones that I use. There's probably 20 that I rotate around through as I'm working with people. And when we do this, we'll combine 5-7 of them for the first cleanse, and we'll use those either in pill or powder form. Then the other option is tincture form. It just depends on the person if they can tolerate the tincture alcohol, some of them. I've been working with some companies now, they're using glycerin, which is a little easier to absorb, not quite as rancid flavored for those kids that we work with. But I definitely bring in, so during this period of time, I'll always have them doing things like NAC, milk thistle, so that we can be working on the liver. I like to also have a product called Tudka, which is a bile salt that increases bile production, which is a natural binder within your body. I really, really love Tudka. It has been an absolute game changer for me. And that increasing the bile allows for the body to bind on its own. So I don't even need a binder per se, which I still use binders, but I don't need as much binder. So it's more natural. It also helps to break down fat, emulsify fat, because that's what bile does. So now we're helping with biofilm breakdown, again, in a natural state. And then, so we've got the milk thistle, we've got the Tudka, doing those two things. And in a basic, I'll do those two products plus the parasite product. If I'm moving into more of an advanced protocol, I'm going to bring in something like a bioactive carbon, which is a charcoal-like product that I'll bring in, and I'll have that done twice a day. Bioactive carbons don't have to be done away from supplements, which is the nice part. So you don't have to do it 2 hours away from everything like with the charcoal. So I'll bring that in a little bit more advanced. And if I step up to another level advanced, and I actually have it built out to where when I'm giving these out within my membership group, the third level is bringing biofilm disruptors in, because that's going to dig even deeper for people. So that's when you bring in proteolytic enzymes that you're taking 45 minutes away from food to break down fat, when you're also taking those anti-parasitic microbials, so that now you're stripping the protections that the parasites build around themselves to stay in your body and hide from your immune system. So I do all three of those different steps depending upon the person's experience level. You know, do they consider themselves a beginner, intermediate, or advanced?
And then what are you doing for heavy metals? What are some of your favorite heavy metal detox protocols?
Yeah, so heavy metals is an interesting conversation to come up right after parasites. Parasites can actually absorb 6 to 8 times their body weight in toxins. Heavy metals is one of their favorites. So if you're full of heavy metals, you are an amazing host for a parasite. I always tell people, you want to be a bad host for organisms. You don't want to be a good host. It's like, you know, I meet all these clients and I ask them, like, what do you do for Christmas? They're like, oh, I clean my whole house and I put out the food and I make it all warm and inviting. That's what parasites are looking for in you. Well, when you have molds and heavy metals, that's what you've done. You've made it warm and inviting. When you're stressed out, low caloric or low hydrochloric acid because you're stressed, when you've taken antibiotics that wiped out your gut microbiome and your protection, you're a great host. So one thing I do for heavy metals is parasite cleansing, because parasites are in there mopping up the metal and they're pulling it out. So if we have heavy metals showing up on our testing, I'll bring in binders with parasite protocols like HMET binder, which is a cell core binder of a bioactive carbon that will bind metals well. So I use charcoals, I use bioactive carbons, and I use zeolites when I'm working with heavy metals as binders. And I'll actually start with binders a little bit backwards to what some people will talk about doing. So I do the parasites, and then I'll do the binders to pick up any free floating metals before I go in stimulating metals. Because it's one of those situations where if I send my kid out to rake the leaves, and there's a few leaves out there, he's tiny, so he's not, going to do a lot of work. So if there's just a few leaves, he can keep up with that. But if I have a huge windstorm come through and just dumps leaves everywhere, it's going to get out of hand. He's not going to be able to keep up. So I'm always trying to make sure that your body can keep up with my metal detoxing. So it's parasites, it's drainage, keep all that open, it's bind up the free floating stuff. And then once I want to go shake the leaves or shake your cells or squeeze your cells and get all the stuff out of it, turn your mitochondria on to kick out the metals. We can bring in iodine, which will displace metals such as uranium. I find uranium a lot, a radioactive element here, on thyroid, especially associated with Hashimoto's. I also find a lot of arsenic and lead and mercury in people. And that mercury can be associated with fish intake, or it can be associated with dental amalgam. So that's why that's part of the safe place section is, or is your body safe from the dental amalgams that potentially dentists put in? So I'll bring in that iodine, which will displace the metal from your cell. The binder then can bind the metal that's coming off. So we've got to do that in appropriate ratios based off of your history and your labs. I'll bring in C60, which is a bio, which is a buckyball. It's a carbon sphere that can actually get into your cells and move metals out. So we've seen some research on that. And I also bring in ALA at times and glutathione to help move things out. And those, all of those are individual things that I'm doing to help stimulate the cell by helping the mitochondria to kick things out. But much more simply, if you drink clean, non-toxic water, your body will start to detox on its own the toxic metals that are coming from your tap water. I've had people switch from tap water to whatever filter you want to use, whether that's AquaTrue or which is RO distilled. When you start removing the toxic water, your body then, because of osmosis, will start to push toxins out to balance the clean water that's out of the cells to start letting that out. So you start detoxing there. And then when you start adding minerals in, especially if you're adding fulvicumic minerals in or fulvicumic electrolytes in, you're actually going to start to displace metal out of your cells because your body's replacing the toxic metals that are in it with the helpful metals, which is things like magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium. And a funny story, I got on this kick taking Relight, Redmond's Relight, where I allowed myself, because it tasted good, the mango flavor, to take two or three a day for like a month. And all of a sudden, I had all of this metal toxin start coming out of me. And darkened eyes, brain fog. I started feeling horrible because I
Really?
was taking in electrolytes in such a high rate that my body started kicking out all this metal.
That's a good point, right? Because electrolytes, which are minerals that, our cells need for a lot of different functions, for, cellular repair, for, rejuvenation, for all kinds of cellular functions. The heavy metals like mercury and lead and cadmium and aluminum that are in the water, that are in the food, that are in, so many things we're exposed to today, cosmetics, the lotions, the shampoos, all the stuff that people are using that are not organic, that are filled with these heavy metals and chemicals, sunscreens, your cells take in those heavy metals as if they're minerals, right? And so when you, like you're saying, when you add in more minerals, more of these minerals that are needed, potassium, calcium, magnesium, etc., then they can help to push out. But if you're not getting enough minerals and then you're overloaded on heavy metals, you know, what's happening is they're getting absorbed into the brain, they're getting absorbed into the fat cells, they're getting absorbed into, you know, so many cells in the body. And those heavy metals are blocking or causing disruption in signaling molecules, right? In communication between cells, which can lead to things like Alzheimer's and neurodegenerative disease and, you know, brain fog and chronic fatigue and all these things that so many millions of people are experiencing today could simply be one of the things that we're talking about is just heavy metal toxicity.
You know, my favorite example, this is what actually turned me on to this entire topic, was I was sitting at a conference a few years ago, a Great Plains Laboratory conference, a naturopath at the end of his conversation, after talking about a $15 million study that they did on oil field employees and how many toxins are coming from industry. He said, what all that helped was his wife, who had been living an extremely healthy life, eating organically, living in a clean home, doing all the things that we talked about today, developed osteoporosis. And this guy was just like, out of everything that I'm doing, I could not understand how in the world her body developed osteoporosis. She'd so well. What he found was lead was sky high in her testing. And he's like, where is this coming from? There's nowhere in our environment for the last 20 years where she could have got lead. Where she got lead was her mother was part of the lead generation. Lead got into her mother's bones because lead, being a positive ion, can get into your bone in place of calcium when you don't have calcium. So when you're pregnant and you're making the bones of your child, that lead can transfer from mother to daughter. So this woman was like 55, 60 years old when osteoporosis hit. The lead from either childhood or from her mother, then when osteoporosis hit and the body was remineralizing that bone, which is a natural process, the lead came out in a quantity that was high enough that generated an immune response that led to osteoporosis in her bones. So once he was able to identify that lead was the generator, he started binding lead and dealing with it and then replacing with appropriate calcium. Her osteoporosis went away. That became a practice in his clinic. So then it hit me. I'm like, so all these women going through menopause that are 40 and 50, they're saying, oh, you know, the floor just fell out from under me. I feel horrible. Could it be, in some of these cases, improper metal, lead being in bones that's coming out that just needs to be bound from a history of lead from their mother, their grandmother, whoever or whenever, and now can be dealt with? And I've taken that thought process and I've just moved it along with so many of the other things that I'm doing, whether it's arsenic in our water supplies or otherwise. Your body is so intelligent that it will take a improper metal that will do the job because of its ionic charge. It won't do it as well, and it may be harmful, but it will do the job enough that you survive,
right?
And put it in place until it can get the appropriate mineral metal to replace it later on. And if you've done this for a while and now you're all of a sudden behaving in a different way, getting in healthy electrolytes, now you're going to detox. And knowing that explains so much of why people feel bad when they do good things.
That's such a good point. And it always brings up the thought in my mind that when you see how intelligent the body is and how intelligently designed it is in all of these ways, it's like, how could it be an accident? You know, how could there not be intentional design behind everything that happens with the body? I mean, evolution by itself doesn't explain it. You know, survival of the fittest doesn't explain it, because we know everything in the body works in harmony and collaboration. We need viruses. We need bacteria. We need certain, we need all these different kinds of organisms in our body, that microbiota, to keep us alive, to actually function. That's collaboration. That's supporting each other, right? That's mutual support. It's not survival of the fittest. And it's certainly not just, in my opinion, It's not just some random thing that, you know, we evolved over millions of years randomly by chance and accident. Like, everything is so perfectly designed. The more you study biology, the more you study the physiology, the more amazed I become of how incredibly intelligent this physical design is. And the backup systems on top of backup systems on top of backup systems. I'll share a story on this. I just got back from Kenya on a humanitarian relief trip. We went over there with seeds and tools to, you know, help stop the famine that's happening in northern Kenya. Literally, people are starving to death. And it's so sad to see. These children are so malnourished. You know, you could imagine, you know, maybe if you only had access to one meal a day, you know, maybe you had a good diversity in that meal. But if you only had one meal a day for the rest of your life, you'd be okay, right? Especially if it had, you know, a good diversity of nutrients in there. Now imagine only having one meal a week. And in that meal, all you have is corn, or all you have is corn and some kind of beans. Now imagine having only two meals a month. And this is what many of these people are facing today. They're literally starving to death. They're malnourished. You know, the average lifespan is only about 58 years old. I met people in their 60s that were worse than people who are unhealthy, have been dying for 30 years in their 90s here in the U.S. These people are in their 60s. You know, children are so malnourished. They don't have nutrition. You know, it just, it was so sad to see. And yet, their bodies are still resilient, still hanging on, still, you know, doing whatever they can to stay alive on one meal a week that's very poorly nourished. Two meals, you know, this woman that was just so emaciated, skin and bones, you know, her face was just caved in, her back bones, you know, there's no muscle, no fat on her body anywhere. Standing in line as we're delivering food, we're delivering seeds and farm tools, you know, and I'm just like weeping, like just wanting to give them everything and help them so much. And you can't help everybody right there in that moment. You don't have enough for everybody, you know, to get them out of that situation, because we're talking about millions of people. You know, we were helping and reaching about 1,000 or 2,000 people directly every single day, that we were going to the different tribes and communities out in the desert. And I mean, they're in barren desert, by the way, just barren desert. You just drive from hours into the barren desert. You know, there's almost no water. Some places have little access to a little, you know, seasonal river, others don't. The water that some of these tribes have access to, it's so dirty and so nasty, and this is what they're drinking. The tribes that are doing better are the ones that have switched from livestock to farming, and one tribe actually we visited that Jonathan's nonprofit has been helping since 2016, they're actually doing much better with farming because more people have stopped livestock farming, which is dangerous and challenging, and they get robbed all the time and killed, and it takes a long time to raise those cattle, and they don't have food for them, and so it's, they make a lot less money as well than just farming. These guys were much healthier and doing much better and more sustainable, which was really cool to see the fruit of that, you know, people, you know, growing watermelons and things like that. A lot of those people were doing better, but they were still, even in that community, there were still people literally starving to death. Point being is, even here, you know, in northern Kenya, these tribes in the desert where people are just emaciated, have no access to anything we're talking about, you know, at all. And the most food they generally have is corn and some beans, and that's about it. Their bodies are doing everything they can to survive, to stay alive, you know, and to detox and to regenerate. And the people were so amazing, you know, greeting us with dancing and pulling us into the tribe and dancing and singing. And here they are, you know, starving to death, and they're still finding some, you know, something to be grateful for, and for us being there and still having the energy to dance, even though some women, you know, couldn't get off the ground. They were so weak and so frail. It was such an unbelievable thing to see. And yet, back to my point of like the intelligence that's put into this body is so remarkable.
Agreed. I see it not from the famine state, but from the all the things that we deal with, toxin, infection, stress, trauma, and people are still functioning, still moving forward, still operating.
Right.
And it's so interesting that we've been trained and taught organisms are bad. Let's sanitize. Let's use bleach. Let's kill everything. Let's use antibiotics. Let's kill, kill, kill. And what I've realized is it's more about harmony, equilibrium. I actually refer to the immune system as crowd control. I don't refer to it as this thing that goes in and kills. I'm like, no, it brings everything back to harmony.
Yeah.
Because whether it's parasites mopping up metal or fungus getting rid of dead tissue or bacteria digesting your food and making your neurotransmitters and helping you with hormones and nutrients, it's all about just keeping all of our microbes, all of our partners in this life in a harmony through crowd control. Because if they get out of control, they can become a problem. As long as they're in control, it's working so well.
It's so true. And it's so much of our Western diet and lifestyle and prescriptive pharmaceutical model that takes all of that out of harmony, that sends everything out of control, right? It's like, oh, we got to target and kill and eliminate all these bad bacteria and viruses and so forth. And in so doing, very often kill the good ones that are there, you know, keeping your body thriving and surviving. And it's not about like getting rid of all of them forever. Like you said, you're not worried about a tick bite. You're not worried about Lyme entering your body because you know that Lyme is probably in your body, right? And yet you're living a healthy lifestyle. So you know that you're not going to be having the symptoms of Lyme, just like COVID. Like I was never worried about COVID, and there were many of us who weren't, because I'm like, look, I'm doing all the things to keep my immune system strong, and you know, I'm going to be exposed to it and I'm not going to worry about it. You know, I'm going to keep doing the things that keep my body strong. We're all exposed to so many different kinds of bacteria and viruses every day. You know, every single person. It doesn't matter if that's in your body, you know? It doesn't matter if HIV is in your body. It doesn't matter, actually. It only matters if your body gets out of balance and can't handle it. So then you have the symptoms of it, and the symptoms, you know, become chronic. And that's what we're worried about, right? We're worried about not having energy, about feeling sick, about, you know, serious physical problems. It's not really about being exposed to us, because I bet you could test everybody for all these different kinds of viruses and bacteria, and most people have them inside of them right now, you know? Just like we know everybody has cancer cells inside of you right now, every single person. It's just, you only need to be concerned about cancer is when it takes off, you know, rapidly and grows exponentially, because your body is out of balance and can't actually target and eliminate and, you know, recycle those abnormal cells, because you've created that environment that you talked about, that hospitable environment for cancer to thrive. And so I love with your pillars, you know, it's, you really focus on the environment, external environment, internal environment, nervous system, you know, cleansing, all of that, because that's what's essential. It's not like, oh, I have to avoid all this stuff. Like I'm out there, you know, all these people, who knows what issues they have, what diseases they have, what parasites, bacteria, viruses. Certainly they have lots of that because of, you know, the way they're living, the lack of access to medical care and all kinds of things. I mean, I saw more blood in a week than I've seen in 5 years. I'm like, I had to play doctor while I was there. People were gushing blood all over, crazy things. I'm like bandaging people up, you know, chlorine dioxide to clean them off. We're healing scorpion wounds. You know, this guy fell off the back of a truck. His teeth had fallen out. His face was gashed open. You could, you know, his skull was broken open. Another guy got in a car wreck. His knee was, and I'm like, you know, out in the middle of the desert. And thankfully I've got a little medic kit and a little, you know, some natural antiseptics, some tea tree, some chlorine dioxide that Jono brought, stuff like that. And yeah, I'm getting exposed to all this stuff, and I'm shaking everybody's hands, all the children, all the, you know, they haven't showered in months. Most of them don't have access to clean water, right? And I'm hugging them, and it's like, I'm not going to sit there and worry about it. I'm going to focus on enhancing my health and my immune system so we don't have to worry about those things, you know? I mean, I think that is the way forward.
I agree. So I was saying earlier, don't be afraid. Strengthen yourself, optimize yourself, move forward in life, because you know you've done the work.
That's awesome, dude. So if people want to work with you directly, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
So look up Dr. DR, period. My name, Jaben Moore. Website, Instagram, Facebook. You can get to us any of those places. We're putting out information every single day on our social sites, just trying to educate people, trying to teach people how to help themselves. But I work virtually with people around the world. We've got 5 different people in my clinic that you can work with. We all are here because of our passion for helping people. Honestly, all of us have our own story. That's why we're doing what we're doing here. So just look us up, drjabenmoore.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Jaben. Appreciate it, man. Awesome talking with you. Thanks for sharing a bunch of good good protocols and details here on the podcast, man. It was great catching up for sure.
Thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane Podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, you know, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening, but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. It's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, you know, for me, the soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort. It cares about evolution. Mm. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also a time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.